We're doing the Lashot Aran, we're up to page Shin Samach, and the Ran had developed an interesting and complex concept that the pagans really were onto something. They didn't just worship idols out of foolishness. They had figured out ways to tap into forces of nature. And the reason they pursued these pagan paths was because they did see something from it. It wasn't just the foolishness. And here he was going out diametrically opposed to Maimonides' opinion. Aval karov ani lomar. We have 6 minutes left. But I think it's logical to say, shayu choshvim yoter mimara mishaya ovedet Hashem itmarach, that they thought it more foolish and more improper to be a monotheist, to serve Hashem, imash nachshev anachnu ayom, al pi adat amiti mishaya oved avodah zarah. More so than we view a pagan today. We look at a pagan and say, gee, that's foolish. He says, well, they thought monotheism was more foolish than we think paganism is today. And not because they denied the existence of a singular God. The Ran says, everyone admitted there was one force above everything. As the verse says in Jeremiah, who doesn't fear you, King of the nations, for it's fitting to fear you, Hashem. And the Talmud says at the end of tractate Menachos, all the nations call Hashem the force above all forces. Everyone agrees he is the cause of all causes, and everything emanates from him. But what they said is that Hashem has no will. Hashem is that original force. He is the progenitor of the world, not because he wills it, but because it must be so. That's the philosophical approach of the medieval times and the pre-medieval times. The philosophers said, yes, there's a first cause, but he doesn't will it. When the sun shines on the plant, when the sunflower bends toward the sun, and we have photosynthesis from the sun, there is no connection between the sun and the flower. The sun is a force, the flower absorbs the force, and there's no connection. So too the philosopher said is Hashem and creation. There's no connection, there's no will, there's an autopilot. Hashem is a creator, a progenitor, the world emanates from him, he is the force of all forces, but he cares not. Caring is beyond him. So that was the philosopher's or the pagans' approach. So the pagans would say, if you worship him and you think he likes you, or you think he'll protect you, so you think you could wear him down? You think you could make him change his mind? So they say, no. Then it's for sure fitting, why don't you worship the stars? Because experience has shown that actually is beneficial. And undoubtedly, says the Ran, it was their research that led them down this path. And if we didn't have the Torah to enlighten us, we'd be going their path too. So if we would think, it's part of nature, look, it works. So then this must be part of the system Hashem created. And you would think, if you talk to Hashem, that's wrong. What do you think? Hashem can change. You think Hashem listens. Hashem's above all that. We would have adopted that pagan approach. That's why the Torah had to continuously reiterate and warn. That's why Hashem's Torah can tell you, no, it's not that way. You would think, I'm worshiping his servants, and obviously it's beneficial. So maybe this is a way of respecting Hashem. No, comes the Torah and says, this is the antithesis of monotheism of worshiping Hashem. This is what angers Hashem. So, the Torah comes and reveals to us, yes, there's a point in talking to Hashem. The Ran over here, there's a point which he doesn't elaborate or actually spell out, but he's saying, our logic would dictate, don't talk to Hashem, what's the point? Comes the Torah and says, talk to me. Our logic would dictate there's nature, work with nature, leave God out of it. Comes the Torah and says you have a mitzvah to daven. Talk to me. But the Ran says the pagans were onto a logical path where without the Torah we would have taken that path, says the Ran. Because they did see benefits from it. He's not going with the Rambam. But I want to tell you something, and I'm going to just point something out against the Ran. I saw a mind-boggling piece of research this week. It was quoted, it was the University of, I don't remember if it was Virginia or Texas. They wanted to research Billy Graham. You guys heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham is a preacher who speaks to maybe 500,000 or 1,000,000 people in an average sermon. So they wanted to understand his system. And they worked to break into, to understand what's going on there. And they discovered that he prepares 6,000 people in an average audience. You hear that number? 6,000 people who will stand up and testify how they were salvated. They will stand up and tell stories of great salvation, of what happened to them, and how, look, I started believing and things worked out right in my life, and they tell great stories. You hear the number? 6,000 people. When I read that, I couldn't believe it. If you'd be sitting there, and you'd be watching the screen, and you'd see 30,000, 40,000 people listening to his speech, and then you'd see all over the stadium their hands raised. Who was salvated? Who took this path? Wouldn't you be convinced? Wouldn't it at least cause you to doubt a little bit? 6,000 hands raised who have stories to tell about how they've been salvated. And then you start hearing them one by one and the next one and the next one and the next one. It would have an impact on you, right? There's a book called Influence. It's a book about how to convince people to buy your product or all kinds of tactics that are used on us. We don't notice it, and they really twist our hand. So he researched the communist way of influencing people. And one of the things he quotes in the book is this. 6,000 people. So I'm just saying, the Ran's postulate, he begins with, they wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't a logic to it. So I say, wait a second. If you can put together 6,000 liars to stand there and say a story because you're paying them money, so that's a little bit convincing. And that gives us a lot of room for thought as to how people can be influenced.
This guy fabricates these 6,000
people. They are paid. 6,000 people are paid in advance to be a part of his team. That's what was mind-boggling to me.